If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Join us on the line by Lincoln Miley, Chief Executive Officer at Lesaka Technologies and President of ASAP, a newly launched organization known as the Association of South African Payment Providers. Such a pleasure to speak to you, Put Lincoln.
Thank you so much, Gugli. Good to hear from you. It's been a while.
It definitely has been a while. I must say there's been a lot of phenomenal work you've been doing at Lesaka Technologies, and this also translates into the partnership that you also have with many of the peers at ASAP. But maybe let's just talk about the Association of South African Payment Providers. Who are they, and why have you gathered together?
Yes, Gugu, I think that South Africa is at a crossroads. We remain one of the most unequal countries in the world, and our economy remains largely stagnant, and there's not the kind of growth that the economy needs. Now, there are many things that are being done, and more needs to be done. But we think that one of the key areas to stimulate growth is to open up the payments environment to allow non-banks to participate fully as if they were registered financial institutions in a regulated payments environment that does not exclude non-banks. Mm-hmm. So we've had different efforts at an individual level, but we felt that if we come together as a collective and create a unique voice for non-bank payments participants, we can add to the debate, we can add to the urgency for change. And so ASAP, the Association of South African Payment Providers, is not just an industry body. It is a force for change. And so we've brought together Lesaka Technologies, Yoko, Network International, Ikoka, Altron, Shop to Shop, Hello Group, and Peach Payments. So 8 of us as senior leaders of those companies decided that it's best that we create this entity and be able to interface with the regulators and other role players in making sure that we bring about change in the payment system in South Africa.
100%. And this is important because, as you say, once you organize, it makes things so much more easier just in terms of not only recognition in the industry, but also the regulatory environment. And that's one that I'm hoping we can zone into, because so often businesses Yes. bemoan regulation, too much red tape and bureaucracy. But when it comes to managing money and the movement of money and transactions, it becomes critical because it ensures our safety as the users and client base of the platforms that you've mentioned. Cast a light on that and help us understand what shifts we've seen from a regulatory point of view, but how you hope that this will heighten your level of engagement with regulators as an organization.
Yes, the current regulatory environment is built around a banking system mm-hmm. and a payment system that really has grown from the banking environment, which means that if you are a non-bank participant and you want to settle and clear, you need the sponsorship of a bank. You cannot do that without the sponsorship of a bank. What the regulators have signaled is that they do want to open up the payment system and enable non-bank participants to settle and clear without requiring a bank. And they have signaled that they will be issuing out a gazette or giving some exemptions from the current Banks Act to enable this to happen so that they start to regulate us on the activities that we do. Mm-hmm. If you're facilitating payments, you'll be regulated on that basis. So it's so important to clarify, exactly as you said, that opening up the payment system does not and should not imply that we now allow the fraudsters to come in. Mm-hmm. It does not imply that we are now we're going to have a situation where you don't know where your money has gone, which means that we, as non-bank participants, want a regulatory framework that makes sense. We are not saying just open up without any regulation, but we're saying don't regulate us like banks. Mm-hmm. Regulate us in a manner that makes sense for what we do, which is we facilitate payments. We're involved in the payments environment, which means that possibly, and I can't really speak for the Reserve Bank, some of the regulations they will have will include how much capital you have to have. Mm-hmm. We think that makes sense. Of course, as long as that capital doesn't mean that you've just become a mini bank, there must be some liquidity that you should have. Of course, that should make sense, so that if Google's sending money to somebody else or somebody is paid, that payment is received by the other side. And so that's important for anyone who participates in the payment. Thirdly, we think that there will be some requirements that have to do with who are the people in charge of these organizations, so that you don't have somebody who's a fly-by-night and people have put in their money or paid and the person has disappeared. And maybe fourthly, there could be some regulations that really deal with how robust are your systems, so that you don't bring systemic risks to the system. So we sit here as the eight organizations being quite big organizations.
Yeah.
And so therefore, it's not as if we don't look for regulations or are not regulated or not well governed in our own environments. We are. And so that's why we said, let's have an adult conversation about how non-banks will be allowed to play in this space.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing, however,
yes,
is that at the end of the day, there has to be the lowering of transactional costs,
yes,
for small businesses, mm-hmm, and individuals. That is very important because that's what's going to drive the economy. We also think it's important that there is a sense of fairness and competition and innovation,
mm-hmm,
so that you don't have a closed club where innovation is there, or people cannot move from one provider to the next. Once you open up the competition, we think more innovation is going to come. And lastly, we think that there are good examples in other jurisdictions, like India, like Brazil, and others, where non-bank participants are now large players, and the pie has grown because there's a displacement of cash, because what people are looking for are viable cash alternatives.
Yes.
This is not just a fight against cash. Unless I give you a viable cash alternative, you are not going to use it. But if I said, for an example, there may be a QR code available to everybody. And if I'm a plumber and I've done a job, I can just put my QR code, the person scan their QR code, they've, mm-hmm, already been able to pay me. Wow. That's good for me.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm an Uber driver, I've been paid and it's settled and the money's already in my account. All those things are important to make the economy grow.
And this is so important, Lincoln, because I can see you light up with passion as you mention this, because truly the reason why this association exists, as well as the various partners you have, is to really make sure that we expand and continue to democratize access to digital payment solutions. Because in as much as we're in a very well-established and mature banking market in South Africa, small businesses, peri-urban and rural-based entrepreneurs often lack adequate access to some of these payment services. And this is really important, because not only does it broaden the pool of financial inclusion, but even the level of economic activity that can be derived. I know that this has also been a focus for you at Lesaka Technologies, and I'm keen for you just to draw us into the positives in terms of the socio-economic aspect and even the economic growth that can be propelled by expanding on payment solutions and democratizing access to financial inclusion.
You know, what is so wonderful to work with my other seven colleagues is that individually we've been working on this thing for many years. For myself, this is, I guess, a fight I've been having for more than 20, 25 years.
Mm.
Just this thing of financial inclusion and this passion to make sure that we don't see the poor or low-income people as a burden on society. We actually see them as value-conscious consumers.
Yes.
We don't underestimate small entrepreneurs and their ability to make change. And so that your system has to be able to enable them to fully participate in the economy. Let me just give you a couple of examples. If we just take grant recipients, 3.5, maybe 4 years ago,
mm-hmm,
almost 80% of them or 90% of them were getting their grants in cash, in an open field in their village or township.
Oh, safety concerns.
No dignity, no value, no security. Imagine all of us, if we were to be said, if they said at payday, you'll all be out at Kaya at the parking lot and you'll be given your salary.
Oof,
Where's the dignity in that? So we've been arguing that people must be paid through the payment system so that they can access their money in any manner that they want. They can access their money through an ATM. They can access their money through a POS device in a shop, or they can access their money in a spaza or anything like that. Today, probably 60-70% of all grant beneficiaries have got a card, a debit card, which means that they are now able to tap, go to an ATM and all of those things, and now they are participating in the economy. Now look at another thing, something like PayShap.
Yes.
If I'm sending 150 rands to my mom, I don't want to be paying 20 rands to spend 150 rands. You have to make it as cheap as possible for people to send money. Now imagine when my mom in the rural areas or in the township gets the money, I've sent it in a way, she got the notification, but now she must take a taxi to go to town to draw the money. The money that she needs to use 10 meters from where she is, because that place cannot take a card payment. What have we done? The need is urgent. She needs the money now. Now imagine if she's going to able to go and pay whatever place she goes to and do that digitally. So these are the things that we're trying to do. Enable people to have e-commerce, enable people to get small businesses to take payments. In that way, people are able to do small transactions. If I'm at a tavern in a township, I must be able to just pay with my card if that's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And the tavern owner must be able to accept card payments. Imagine I could also pay with a QR code in a tavern.
Yes.
You could do the same. A guy who's fixing tires and all of that, and if we lower the cost of transactions, suddenly everybody participates in the economy. So these are some of the dreams we have as these eight executives. And so our engagements with the Reserve Bank have been very good. We know that they've got definite plans that they've got that they'll announce. And they also attended our launch and gave an indication that these changes will be done in the next few months. And so we are quite excited by that. But our name is ASAP. We want the changes to be done ASAP because we think that the country needs change. And others think that if we do this, we're anti-bank. We're saying, no. Banks have a voice. Banks must compete and we must compete. I think all of us need to compete so that the customer makes a final decision who they want to be with because they think there's value, or they think it's affordable, or they think it's secure. All of those things must be in the hands of the customer. So the regulatory environment must open that. I'll give you two maybe small examples, Google, just to give a sense of what is possible. In Ghana, there are now more mobile accounts than there are bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So they've used mobile money as a form of payment, and it's accepted.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Kenya, the growth of M-Pesa, which is a non-bank entity. So you can create an opening of your payment system and allow telcos, cell phone companies, you can allow retailers, you can allow non-bank payments organizations like us and other innovators, so that there's now competition to make sure that we bring down the cost, we bring innovation, and we give our customers choice.
100%. I'm so glad that you allude to those examples that are across the continent because it's really a way of living in terms of mobile money and mobile transactions. I remember being in Kenya once and couldn't actually get into an event because I had cash on me and they said, no, we only take M-Pesa.
Yes.
So it speaks to the safety, the security, the viability and the efficiency and really a model that can be used by anyone within that particular environment. Of course, I ended up finding a friend and we managed to get in. But what I'm intrigued by as well, Lincoln, is the partners that you have on board. When I look at the likes of Ikoka and Yoko Technologies, really specializing in point of sale devices to make sure that it's easy to transact. Peach Payment Systems, the transfer of money as well.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the likes of Ultron FinTech, Hello Group, Shop to Shop, and yourselves as Lisaka Technologies. What this highlights is that you are playing in a space where there's so much innovation as to how payments and transactions can take place, from a QR code to a picture. I think at some point we'll be touching our phones and money will essentially move. But this, I'm asking as an opportunity to really shine a light on the level of innovation when it comes to payment systems in South Africa and the continent. Just how do we fare against our global peers, and how have we really found a way to tap into this new avenue of growth at an accelerated pace?
If I look at my colleagues, there are times when I'm with them and I'm just in awe,
right,
about what they've achieved in their own environments. These are founders of businesses who started those businesses from scratch. And so they've seen the challenges and came up with innovative solutions, either on e-commerce or acquiring or solving for the challenges of small entrepreneurs, or solving for the problems of spaza shops. And so when I look at that eight, they've been able to do this in a restrictive regulatory environment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just imagine if the regulatory environment opened up for these players not having to have a bank to do what they do. You will see innovation even more. You will see even other new players coming in and come with a lot of innovation. So I think we fare very well as South Africa with the range of innovations, the range of very good companies that many people are invested in, that change the dynamic. So my view is, whether you are talking about e-commerce at the maybe top end, or you are talking about helping people who have spaza shop at the bottom end, there is enough innovation. There's enough capital to back these companies. And there are now thinkers and innovators who are leading these companies who are just chomping at the bit to be allowed to compete even more.
Yeah.
People ask me all the time as to how could you guys come together when you are such fierce competitors? So I give two important, one is an important disclaimer that says we're very clear about what is anti-competitive behavior. So we are not coming together to do what is uncompetitive or what is illegal, right,
yes,
as a group.
Yes.
So we've got all of the advice to be able to do the right thing in terms of the laws of the country from a competitive point of view. But the bigger point is that we've realized that the true competition we face is actually inefficiency, the system. The true competition we face is inequality in our country. It is underdevelopment. If we could tackle those, there's a big market waiting for us, which are the people at the bottom of the pyramid. If you go to our villages, as you said, if you go to our townships, we are not penetrated in terms of digital alternatives. Sometimes we say, oh yeah, we're banked. But to have everybody just have a card where at the end of the month, or when they get a grant, they just take their money and withdraw it, because there is no digital alternatives. If they don't take that money, they know that the next time they go to town or whatever, it's a long way away. But if they knew, I could go with my card or a mobile money or a QR code or any form of payment and pay any place that is a taxi or a tavern or anything or a church, suddenly the world opens up. We've even seen churches now take payments digitally, right? People have said there's no way a church will do that. Churches are doing that. People want to see that the alternative works. Mm-hmm. When the alternative works, people will move. You've seen sometimes in churches that they'll put a QR code and people are able to pay.
Yep.
They'll bring a POS device and people will pay. So I think that the opportunity is ripe for us to be able to make payments frictionless, to make it secure, to make it fast, and for those who are meant to receive the payments to know that when this is done, I'll get my payments. Then you build trust, both from the consumer side and the merchant side, and you are able to change the economy much more broadly.
100%. Lincoln, we're looking forward to seeing more of the innovation that comes out from your organ association and your various partners, and hopefully even having more on board. And an interesting one that I just want to plug in there, as this association is specific to South African payment providers, are you looking to expand it to international payment partners and platforms in future?
I think it is possible, Coco. I think for now, we are just obsessed with saying, let's not have 50 members or let's not go across the continent. Let's just focus on these three big things. Mm-hmm. Let's win those, and then we'll see what happens from there. First one is we've got to have access for non-banks into the payment system without requiring a bank. Mm-hmm. That's important for us. Secondly, the lowering of the cost of transaction, very important for us. A review of the interchange to make it easier and cost-effective for entrepreneurs and small businesses and consumers to use payment rails. The third one is enable the competition and not allow uncompetitive behavior, and allow customers to make choices. If we solve those, we think that we can dare to dream about bringing ourselves to a broader view of other markets. But for now, as a team, we're laser focused on these three things, and we've got clear deliverables for ourselves. And sometimes it disappoints people who say, we also want to be members. We're like, guys, we don't want to be the biggest association. We want to be the most effective association. And so we're laser focused on those three goals. And if somebody joins us, they must join us because they are aligned on those three goals. And then from there on, we'll see. So we are waiting with bated breath to see what the regulations would look like. And then we can engage, the regulators. And then I'm sure all of the players are not just doing the work of ASAP. Back at the ranch, each one of the eight companies is trying to say, hey, guys, from a competitive point of view, if this regulation change, are we ready to compete? Uh-huh. So and that should be music to the ears of consumers, because they will be the beneficiaries of small business.
100%. And that's what we love to hear, the empowerment of small businesses, consumers being beneficiaries as we're able to transact and move effectively using money that we've worked very hard for, but are using to share with loved ones or perhaps make purchases that are quite critical to our livelihood. Mr. Mali, it's always a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Thoroughly enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you,
wishing you all the best.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vlad.
That's Lincoln Mali, the Chief Executive Officer of Lesaka Technologies, but joining us today in his capacity as the President of ASAP. That's the Association of South African Payment Providers. Yep, this is a significant move, especially when it comes to it representing eight of the largest non-bank digital payment providers in the country, certainly making shifts in the industry to democratize access further. Share your thoughts with us, 0636880959. You've probably used some of these services, Ikoka, the point of sale machine, or perhaps Yoko. Or maybe you've made use of the likes of Peach Payment Services. Or you're an entrepreneur who's also trying to make sure that you now access QR codes and the likes to make sure that clients can pay you without having to withdraw cash. Let us know. 0636880959. We're always happy to hear your thoughts.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.